The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, with you today on this Tuesday, 13th day of August, 2019. Man, this year has gone by quick. I'm already talking like it's December. Well, don't blink, because it will be. Very interesting, among the hubbub of Mr. Epstein being suicided or suiciding himself. By the way, I heard that the two guards that were on duty that night, they've been put on leave, paid leave. And I guess the head honcho at that corrections facility, he's been put on a desk job, like he didn't have one like that before. And folks, they're going to run with the narrative that Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide. But more and more information is coming out in the connections, and we'll get into that as well. You know, you don't have to have a tinfoil hat on to smell a dead rat, folks. Okay? You conspiracy theorist. Something invented by the CIA when they wanted to debunk something, or they would just send a memo to all the talking heads and positions of news and agencies and whatever. Yeah, conspiracy theories. It wasn't a conspiracy with Lee Harvey Oswald and JFK, because it was a lone shooter. It was a lone wolf, remember? Yeah. At any rate, while all the Jeffrey Epstein stuff has been going on, and we'll cover that in this program as well, some other things has happened. Now, you heard about the other day that they did a raid, and they arrested 700 illegals. This is a plant down in Mississippi, a chicken plant. Roughly 150 locals attended an August 12 jobs fair to apply for jobs at the Koch Foods plants in Mississippi. By the way, it doesn't have anything to do with the Koch brothers. That was made very clear. I'm sure the Koch brothers got on the phone and made their calls. The fair was run after the August 7th removal of 243, as the Breitbart story says, alleged illegal migrants. Illegal migrants. Alleged? I'll put up with alleged illegal aliens, but migrants? Do you think that if Andrew Breitbart was still around, you'd be seeing this kind of stuff in news stories? I don't think so. I don't even know who Breitbart News is anymore without the direction of their founder, Andrew. But of course, he's not around anymore because he got Breitbarted. The local Jackson Clarion Ledger newspaper reported that 25 to 30 people went to a job fair in Forest, Mississippi. Now, there was a hell of a lot more that showed up for that than just 25 to 30. Trust me, folks. With the illegal aliens and their work and the jobs, well, the Coke people weren't hiring anybody because they had their illegal aliens in there. Hey, never have to worry about them unionizing, I'll get that out, and organizing because they didn't want to draw attention to themselves. Cameo Whitley, a resident of nearby town of Morton, spoke to reporters after he left the building. He said that there were several positions available to plan, including forklift operators. Whitley said he applied for a job working at the plant's rehang table, and that's where they hang frozen chickens. I didn't know that these chicken processing plants process frozen chickens. I didn't know that. I thought they were fresh, and then they either froze them or whatever. Duh. The less I know about processed chicken, the better off I am. I once saw one of their egg-laying facilities. Oh, God. Tens of thousands of chickens in little cages you can barely turn around in. And, well, they gave them food and water. Of course, the food was spiked with speed, so they'd lay the eggs faster. And then little damn roosters on the top of them cages running back and forth. I guess they were in Seventh Heaven. I don't know. But after they burned those chickens out, Campbell's Soup Company would roll in and buy up the emaciated, and that's what you eat in chicken noodle soup.
Yeah.
Again, the less you know about the processing, the better off you are. Now, back to the story. The job starts at $12 an hour, which is decent pay, I guess, for the area, Whitley said. It's not a bad start and can always go up. The company is also trying to hire workers with online ads. Local officials made sure the hiring process complied with federal hiring regulations, according to WAPT 16 out of Mississippi. Coke Foods is not a part of the Koch Brothers network of energy companies. By 10 a.m., a crowd of dozens was on hand. Most were black and spoke with accents from the American South. Wow, all the detail in here. Busting the illegals, and we got to have English-speaking black people in there. Well, what the hell language do they speak? Wow. Jeez, isn't this nice, being in a politically correct world? That you write a piece that you have to include everything? I'm surprised this story didn't come with a little rainbow banner on it. Like Nicholson, who applied Monday, were chicken plant veterans. They understand the arduous and sometimes dangerous work of slaughtering, butchering, and packaging chickens. Yeah, they really fight those frozen chickens. From hanging up live chickens, oh, I guess they do live chickens, to pulling off skin, to cutting up super sharp knives. Yeah, I was always told the most dangerous knife is a dull one, not a sharp one, a dull one. To boxing up chicken, let me quit interrupting myself, much of it done in near-freezing temperatures. Now, the line moves fast, and people repeat the same motions over and over. Kind of like working at General Motors on an assembly line. It's definitely hard, said Cedric Griffith of Maggie, who said he's been working at McDonald's after getting fired from another chicken processor for missing too many days. You're going to lose a lot of weight. 9 times out of 10, when that week is over, you're tired. The area's unemployment is high and the wages are low. From 2000 to 2009, the labor force participation rate in Mississippi dropped 9%, according to an August 8 report from Krikorian CIS. The drop from 78% to 60%. I don't care about all that. Now, Union Chief Richard Trumka is backing the illegal migrant workers who were hired by Koch Foods, or Coke Foods, however you prefer, and other meat packers in Mississippi to displace Americans throughout the state. He says, "We condemn these raids in the strongest possible terms and pledge our full support to the UFCW. I don't know, is that the United Frickin' Chicken Workers of America? I don't even know what UFCW means, but at any rate. And the working people of Mississippi, as they work to win justice for all those who were unfairly targeted." Now, this is a head of a union, AFL-CIO, Richard Trumka. Now, evidently, he doesn't understand who was unfairly targeted. the Koch brothers, or the Koch people, that hired illegals to begin with, I would say that's unfair to the local population, wouldn't you? But not according to Richard Trumka, the head of the AFL-CIO. Trumka's tweet linked his huge political switch to a Washington Post report that said that many children didn't have loved one or family friend to go home to. Some walked home from school, but were locked out because their parents detained or detained in a raid. Well, you know what? That's your responsibility for putting your children through that. If you don't want to go to jail in this country, stop dragging your illegal kids over the border with you. How's that one? All this emotional crap. I mean, why are we not hearing about destitute families in that area that were looking for a job and couldn't find one? And not too far away, there's a bunch of happy camper illegals chopping up chickens. Now, folks, I'll be the first one to admit that doesn't sound like a very rosy job now, does it? And this is just a euphemism. People down in that area would kill for a job. Oh, no, but these poor people, these lawbreakers and their children, and look at what we're putting the children, look what the parents, let's start taking responsibility here. Look what the parents are doing to these children. Happy little round-faced Mexican children, you know what? Nice-looking kids, all that. But your mama or your daddy or both of them, even if you do belong to them, are the ones that are putting you through this. Also, the processing firms have been under pressure to raise wages in President Donald Trump's go-go economy. Yeah. In May, for example, Sanderson Farms offered $15 an hour wage to workers after June 2nd. Sanderson Farms has about 15,000 workers in Mississippi, Georgia, Louisiana, North Carolina, and Texas, and about 13,000 hourly wage earners. But MSNBC's correspondent, Marion Antensio, suggested that only Latinos can do slaughterhouse jobs, saying this is pretty grueling work at these poultry plants, and poultry is an industry that has become, as many of these industries that rely on low-skilled workers, dependent on Latin American immigration. Huh? What? Wait a minute. I used to work for the auto companies, and I know that they'd go on hiring binges. And yeah, there was a lot of unskilled labor that went into these factories. You got to go to work there performing tasks that, well, best suited to your aptitude of here is a process, duplicate it, check it, rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat. It's not hard, okay? If you're of average intelligence, you could have a job in any U.S. auto manufacturing plant. If you had higher aspirations on the company side, you could, you know, turn in your UAW card and you can go to management. Or there was people that were actually management and went the other way, but neither here nor there. But there was never a problem finding labor, ever. And as much as the auto companies like to complain that, oh, we pay our workers so much, it's like $59,000 an hour, that's our cost. Well, I could spend an entire hour on this subject because the auto companies in this country are so screwed up. While the competition worldwide was getting its act together, by the way, we were the first ones to put up, well, assembly lines for automobiles, Henry Ford, you know the story. So they looked at what the Industrial Revolution has done for America, and they went quietly and happily duplicating what we were doing. Only with one twist. They wanted to do it better than us, and did so. I've told the story a million times about the Japanese cars, the Hondas of the 80s and 90s. General Motors and Ford, Chrysler, they just didn't know what to do. All of a sudden, the imports were starting to show up on American streets, and, well, for the first time in this country's history, the automakers were worried that people were going to go buy a foreign-made product rather than one of ours. And it used to be, folks, that people had brand loyalty. You were a Ford guy, or you were a Chevy guy, or you were a Chrysler Mopar guy, or whatever. And then something magical happened in the auto industry. Somebody actually took a look at the processes of building a good, quality, long-lasting, relatively inexpensive car for mass production for the masses. And they nailed it. I can remember the first Honda Accord I ever drove. I thought, you know, I'm going to put this thing through its paces. You know, I don't believe the Japanese cars are that much better than American cars. Buddy, was I wrong. Little Honda Accord four-cylinder. Good acceleration. Handling. Cornering. Braking. The overall quality of the car. This is when you started to hear people that were putting hundreds of thousands of miles on their odometers, or some of the crap that GM was putting out. And I'm not joking about this, and I'm not exaggerating. Some car lines, depending on what components were used, couldn't even make it out of the dealer's lot. The customer didn't even get the car home before the transmission burned out or the engine blew up. But they were just cranking out the get quota, and yeah. Somewhere along the way, they forgot about one thing. That's the buying public. And Japan took full advantage of that. Now, what you're starting to see running around the roads now, I saw a Chevy Malibu today. I thought, man, that's a pretty sharp car. They're finally starting to get it. What year is this? 2019? They had the wake-up call in the late 80s. And then we see the car companies, they want to get out of building passenger cars and just go with the bigger buck SUVs. Like they are not confident they can compete anymore in the car market and make a decent profit off of the car. Well, you know how companies make profits, don't you? If you don't know, I don't have an hour to tell you how the auto companies did it and how they should have done it. But profit for any corporation is the bottom line. And to maintain a good profit margin, you just keep cranking out good quality products that people want to buy. It's that simple. But man, when we come down to chickens and chicken plants, oh no, we got to hire the illegals because no American wants to do that job. Phooey. I've had some pretty interesting jobs in my life. They weren't menial jobs. They were labor-intensive jobs. Didn't take a whole lot of smarts to do the job. But the job wasn't bigger than me. Was I bigger than the job? If I needed money, I worked that job. I didn't do it complaining because I accepted the job. I needed the money. And I would go to work for it. If I didn't like the job, guess what I would do? Go find a better one. But these clowns are trying to make this look like, you know, this is just hateful, uprooting these people and these poor babies. Yeah. Enough. By the way, that wasn't the only plant. 7 slaughterhouses in 6 cities were using up to 680 illegal aliens instead of local Americans. Some of the migrant employees were wearing ankle monitors, which are placed on released migrants by the Department of Homeland Security, according to federal court documents, the State Clarion Ledger newspaper reported. Well, I guess that's one way. Rather than throwing them in jail, you release them to their children. But I wonder if they cut the ankle bracelets off that anybody even shows up. But I guess that's better than just handing them a court date and saying, here, show up at this date at this building and see you. And then they disappear into the woodwork. Folks, we either have a country or we don't. We either have borders or we don't. We either have jobs by Americans, hiring Americans, or we don't.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
In the meantime, unemployment 3.7%. We've got the best unemployment record in 50 years in this country. Gross domestic product is up, and yeah. Well, even if that were true, which it's not, liars figure and figures lie, we've got a $3,727,014,000,000 federal spending record through July of this year. And the Treasury itself is running $866,812,000,000 deficits. The federal government spent a record, as I said, $3,727,014,000,000 in the first 10 months of this year. And this is October through July. While spending that record amount of money, the government ran that deficit of almost $867 billion. Before this year, the most that the federal government had ever spent in the first 10 months of the fiscal year was in fiscal year 2009. Whoa, that's right, when the Treasury spent $3,576,745,930,000. Adjusting and using the Bureau of Labor Statistics inflation calculator, which is nothing but a calculator for the devaluation of the dollar. You know, Chinese manipulating their yuan, well, the Federal Reserve manipulates the Federal Reserve notes, so what the hell? Federal spending was impacted in fiscal 2009 by the recession that was ongoing when that fiscal year began, and actually started in 06, but let's not split hairs here. At the beginning of the fiscal 2009 year, Bush signed the Troubled Asset Relief Program to bail out failing banks. Remember what that total was? It was only $700 million. Shouldn't have never been done in the first place, but it was $700 million. What they started to discover was the breadth and the depth of the thievery that took place, so they called it quantitative easing. Yes. We got to bail the banks out that are too big to fail, and we got to keep people working, got to bail that corporation out. Yeah, and on it goes. Total federal revenues in the first 10 months of fiscal 2019 equaled $2,860,202,000,000, and that was less than the total revenues the federal government collected in the first 10 months of fiscal 2017. You know, I hate these stories. They throw all this stuff out, and you're supposed to keep this stuff in your head. Well, put it to you this way, folks. Bottom line here is, government's not cutting anything. And I think this is why they're purposely pumping up these false statistics so they can go on madcap spending sprees going, oh, the economy's great, don't worry about it. Well, I am worried about it. Because we're not $22 trillion in the hole, we're like $150 trillion plus in the hole. Why? Because we got liars that figures and figures that lie. The breakdown here, Social Security, $868 billion. National Defense, $568 billion. Medicare, $540 billion. Health cost, and I don't know what category that's under, but that's only $482 billion. Income security, I'm supposing that's the Social Security, $446 billion. Net interest on all of this stuff, $343 billion. Veterans Benefits and Services, $166 billion. Education, $117 billion. Transportation, $76 billion. And other, $119 billion. Now, let me see. Medicare, health, whatever that is, it exceeds Medicare, and I don't know what that health means. They don't break that down. Income security and all this other stuff. All of which is unconstitutional, folks. National Defense, they've got this underrated at $568 billion. It is more than that. It's approached $1 trillion. I think it was close, pretty close to $900 billion. You know, we're supposedly winding down the wars in the Middle East. Supposedly, we're not butting our nose into so many places around the planet, which is not true. The outlays for the military expenditures, folks. I mean, what are you putting a requisition in for tractor trailer loads of toilet paper? Or you're putting out contracts for planes that don't fly? I don't care what it is. The attitude in the military-industrial complex and government, they'll tell them, don't worry about it. You get into cost overruns, we got your back. We got you covered. Instead of the best, not necessarily the cheapest bid out there on a contract. But yeah, you try to go for a lower price with the people that can do a better job at doing anything. Which the federal government doesn't have a great talent for doing. Who cares if you're part of a bureaucracy? Nobody's going to see me. Well, I can see what you're spending. And you people have lost your damn minds. Economy is great. 50 years, unemployment low, 3.7%. GDP, When aren't we being lied to is the question that should be asked.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Thank you. Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Thank you, Earl, for sending this over. He wrote a letter to Governor Greg Abbott on May 16th of this year. And it comes back. Oh, let me first read the letter. Governor Abbott, in many ways, we the people of Texas, through ignorance, are forced to fund with our tax dollars the destruction of our republic. I never gave permission to have money confiscated for me for foreign aid, which includes $700 million in to El Salvador, or Guatemala, or Honduras. I never gave permission to foreign languages coexist with our common language. This activity equals dual citizenship that equals to no allegiance or loyalty to our Texas. Opposed to shutting down the border from this ongoing well-planned invasion, we are forced to support it with our tax dollars. We are told it's a humanitarian crisis and we must give aid and comfort to... Yeah, it's an Amber Alert, and I can't shut this damn thing off. Jeez. God. Oh. No longer do I want my tax money, which is forced from me under the threat of fine or imprisonment if I fail to pay my so-called fair share, to aid this invasion in its already positioned sanctuary cities. Return back to me the portion of money that was forced from me. No longer do I wish to assist in the destruction of my Texas and my way of life. Please do not proclaim to it's a federal issue, the state's created a federal government and has the power to end this atrocity. Now, what I find very interesting is the person that responded back to this man, Earl, we'll just use his first name because he didn't exactly tell me I couldn't use his last name, but I don't want to piss anybody off here. So here comes a letter back to Earl. Thank you for contacting the office of the governor. We understand that you have concerns about the size and scope of government. Well, we recognize that this is a frustrating and important matter. Governor Abbott understands our communities cannot prosper if they're not safe. Dysfunction in Washington, D.C. stems largely from the federal government's refusal to follow the Constitution, as seen in its inability to secure the border, which has provided too many opportunities for violent criminals, drug cartels, and people from countries with ties to terrorism to enter our country. Texas cannot and will not sit idly by while criminal elements take advantage of the poor southern border. That is why Governor Abbott was proud to sign into law the toughest state border security program in the nation during the 84th legislative session. He also signed legislation which bans sanctuary cities and requires local government entities and law enforcement officials to comply with federal immigration laws and detainer requests, and creates criminal penalties for entities that do not enforce the law in Senate Bill 4 in the 85th legislative session. Our founding document is increasingly eroded with each passing year as the federal government amasses more and more powers. Congress routinely violates its enumerated powers, taxing and spending its way from one financial crisis to another. Americans are becoming less and less free and more burdened by the federal government's overregulation. This is a tragedy given the volume of blood spilled by patriots to win our country's freedom and repeatedly defended it over the last 240 years. Moreover, the declining relevance of our nation's governing legal document erodes the foundation on which this country was built, the rule of law. The governor firmly believes that the 9 constitutional amendments proposed in the Texas plan will restore our country to the limited government, liberty-focused republic of what our founding fathers envisioned. You can read the governor's plan on our office website at gov.texas.gov. During the original Constitutional Convention of 1787, the states of Virginia, New Jersey, and Connecticut offered their vision for the most effective constitution to govern our nation and to restore liberty to the people who had fled oppression and fought so hard to defend it. Now it's Texas's turn. To that end, are you ready for it? Here it comes. To that end, the Texas legislature passed Senate Joint Resolution 2 in 2017, adding the Lone Star State to the list of states calling for a convention of states, your CONCON. And they finish out their response by saying, finally, you may wish to contact your state congressional representatives to ensure they're aware of your valuable perspective on this matter. Then they give out numbers and Capitol switchboard and all that stuff. They finish off by saying, we wish you all the best and hope you find this information helpful. Please let us know if we can assist you in the future. Dee Dee Smith, Deputy Director, Constituent Communications Division, Office of the Governor. It's their PR portion that put this out. But I read this, and I'm thinking, you know, this isn't too bad. You know, most of the responses that when you write the feds, your federal Congress critters, oh, well, thank you very much for contacting us. And they'll say next to nothing, and if we can be of any further service, please drop us a line. So I was pretty pleased with this one until the final paragraph. Yeah, we're calling for a CONCON. Well, we do have a 10th Amendment to our Constitution, and it doesn't require a constitutional convention comprised of the governors of the states. And the reason I'm saying that is look who we've got as governors of the states. And folks, this is not a fantasy. This is not stretching credulity here. when I tell you that if these governors got behind locked doors, because after all, it was the states that created the federal government, well, they could get creative and recreate everything all over again. In other words, if they get behind locked doors and they decide to throw out the existing Constitution, there is nothing to stop them. Nothing. Start chewing that over. Think of the governor of New York, the governor of California, or some of these other governors that couldn't find their backsides with both hands in a lit room. That's how far away they are from the Constitution. And we've seen this process eroded by not states, but municipalities saying, well, we don't agree with that. And we're going to have a city council meeting, and we're going to create our own laws. Really? And how in God's green earth can a Kamala Harris or a Bernie or any of these clowns, and Republicans for that matter, take an oath of office to protect and defend the Constitution? How? How is AOC going to do it? How did she do it? How did she take her oath of office to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States of America? How? You know, the media and the press make fun of AOC, and I've done my fair share, because she's a 29-year-old bartender that is probably better at bartending and maybe managing a bar than managing a congressional seat. Because all she's got is spoon-fed mush coming out of that mouth of hers, and it is all spoon-fed. She gets in trouble when she gets off of script and starts opening up her mouth that displays her ignorance. We all know this. But I seem to remember the 10th Amendment was the stopgap for the states to tell the federal government, hey, no more. No mas. No mas. Michigan has done something very interesting, and I was surprised to see this. Now, Michigan is not a strong Republican state. Why? Because of the unions, which is nothing but a... The unions have been used politically. The unions aren't there to really protect their workers. If they were doing that, this chaos of mass shipment of jobs out of this country wouldn't have happened. You would have seen strike after strike after strike with companies and corporations in this country if the union leaders were doing their jobs and really protecting American jobs. They sat back. They were bought off. They sat back and watched the exodus of our industrial framework. Okay? But Michigan, I was shocked. Michigan bans the cops from seizing your property without a conviction. What? Yeah, okay, before you get too giddy about that, there's some stuff in the fine print that needs to be gone over. The Heartland Institute reports that three new bills were signed into law which limit property seizure practices in the state. Now, if I stop there, you'd think, hey, this isn't bad. Well, that's good, because these guys are just highway robbers to begin with. Well, good, we put a stop to that. Not so fast. These new statutes ban police officers from seizing property and suspected drug crimes without first acquiring a conviction or plea agreement. Okay, so far, so good. Civil asset forfeiture is a legal process. Legal. That enables law enforcement to confiscate assets, cars, and money from individuals suspected of being involved in illegal activity. In previous cases, law enforcement did not even have to charge the owner with a crime. The owner would then have to go to court to get their property back. But you spend a ton of money on a lawyer, and chances are you didn't get your money damn money back anyhow, okay? Now these new laws prohibit police officers from taking property from suspected drug crimes without first having a conviction or a plea agreement in cases dealing with assets below $50,000. Huh? What? These new laws also mandate that the government notify an individual if their property has been confiscated, while shifting the burden on officials to prove that the forfeiture is justified. Isn't that great? Told you it sounded good until you got into the finer points of this. It prohibits them from taking property of suspected drug crimes without first having a conviction in cases dealing with assets below $50,000. Not above, below. Now, if the forfeiture does not meet aforementioned points, the property must then be returned to the owner within 14 days. However, there are still challenges for this legislation. Lee McGrath, the senior legislative counsel for the Institute of Justice, believes that it will be difficult for citizens to recover the property that the state seized. The average forfeiture is less than $2,000. It is irrational for a property owner to spend $5,000 on a lawyer to get property back worth less than the lawyer's cost. He added, it's equally irrational for legislators to believe that most citizens can use a form to answer a civil complaint in 20 days without the help of a lawyer. It's because they just made the damn system so complicated, you need one of the people to go out there and, well, just read this mumbo-jumbo. Matthew Glanz, a senior policy analyst at the Heartland Institute, says that the law enforcement agencies make big cash from these practices because they can sell the assets they took and use the funds for their own benefit, or in many cases, what we have seen, sticking it in their own pockets, while the hierarchy looks the other way. I'm sure they get a little taste of it, too. Now, according to the story, Michigan took a strong first step toward limiting the abuse of civil asset forfeiture by limiting its use in drug cases, which do not represent a large portion of property seizures, according to Glanz. Unfortunately, the new laws do not end the practice completely and do not address the incentives for law enforcement agencies to wrongfully seize property. According to the report of Budget and Tax News, a total of $13 million in assets were seized in Michigan. They do not give a timeline on this. What was that, in 32 minutes? I don't know. Glanz, however, believes that this is the first step and should be followed up with further reforms. Yeah. Michigan lawmakers should build on these positive reforms and enact future new laws requiring seized funds to be directed towards education, crime prevention, or the general fund not used by law enforcement agencies. As if this cookie jar doesn't have a lid on it. Now, Glanz claims that police also share the proceeds of the seized assets with federal agencies. The Michigan legislature should also close the equitable sharing loophole and block local police agencies from working with federal authorities to sidestep state restrictions on forfeiture and dividing the seized assets between them. Now, the asset forfeiture reform is one of the few battles liberty conservatives are winning at the state level. Yeah, well, tell me when you've really made a victory. How about let's not take your bad law and try to fix the bad law. Let's just get rid of the bad law, period. You ever notice that the politicians never do that? They amend, put Band-Aids on it, a smiley face, and tell you they fixed the problem. The problem still remains, folks. Now, the good part of this is that political activists across the country are catching wind of this trend and putting pressure to reform civil asset forfeiture procedures. Well, I hope you do a better job than Michigan did. Yeah, some might say, well, the glass is half full, and, you know, this is a good start. No, a good start would be throwing those laws away to begin with. Huh. Ah. Could you imagine Barry Seal, me in Arkansas? The state gets half of the forfeitured stuff, and the federal government gets the other half. And there was so much of it, I'm starting to believe that, Ollie North got out a calculator and said, wait a minute here, let's burn Barry's seal, which they did. They burned him big time. And I am not so sure that it was a couple of Nicaraguans that crept up on Barry Seal and shot him because, well, he was working for the Fed and he turned in some of the big drug runners. There was a lot of bodies buried around. And when you do something like this, do you always kill off the people that are in the inside that know what the hell's going on? Yeah. Made in America.
They came and took it all away.
Folks, this is very important information. What's to be said about CBD? AncientLifeOil.com. Our CBD is made from hemp and has 0.003 THC, which means this wonderful product won't get you high. No matter what amount you take, what does CBD do for the body? My hands are tied. But you can Google CBD benefits and be astounded. When you're finished reading, you'll want to log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com and purchase. Life is good when you feel good. People are tired of pain. People are asking for non-GMO organic products to help them with, you fill in the blank. Legal in 49 states, and again, our CBD is made from hemp. Ancient Life Oil is about helping people, one by one by one. If you wonder how good the product is, the CEO takes it every day without miss. AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Have a great day.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech. Quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product! It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
So you fine folks out there know, thank you, Ingrid Castle, RBN host of Immunize Wisely. She sent this over to us. Following is all the documentation for the case against Jeffrey Epstein. He is the key to bringing down the NWO. Please forward this documentation to others on your email list for safekeeping. I took the liberty of going to Pacer and downloading all the Epstein drops and making them into two-batch PDFs. This way, it's organized. You don't have to pay. And she says, enjoy. Now, these PDFs are the legal documents related to the Epstein case. And let me see if my PDF reader here works. Lo and behold, it does. Now, this was on the 9th of August of this year. And it's a 76-page indictment. And I have not had a chance to read this. We just literally posted it up. If you want to read this, go to republicbroadcasting.org and read it for yourself. I'm going to go through this tonight, and I'll report on it tomorrow. Like I said, it's too lengthy to try to cover here. Now, isn't it strange? What day did he kill himself, Mike? Supposedly? Saturday morning, which would have been what? What's the date? The 10th. So this came out on the 8th. 2 days later, he just kills himself. Now, the day before Jeffrey Epstein's supposed suicide, he spent 12, 13 hours with his attorneys. Now, folks, if you're going to spend 12, 13 hours with your attorneys, does that sound like a guy that's given up hope? No, this guy, he was trying to wheel and deal. And I'm sure that word was gotten to him, keep your mouth shut. You know, Jeffrey, there's a lot at stake here. You're running blackmail for God knows who. It was rumored he was working with the Mossad as well as intelligence agencies in this country. And he was doing pretty much what J. Edgar Hoover used to do. He used to snoop and spy on people and then blackmail them. If they were doing something he didn't like politically, he would remind them, excuse me, we have dossiers on you. You know, which we never saw, got to see those files because, well, they just mysteriously up and disappeared when J. Edgar Hoover finally checked out. So it is up there, folks, if you want to read it. I'm going to read it tonight. Now, this is where the Epstein thing starts to get a little weird. Now, George Webb put this out. He did a YouTube on this. And there's also accompanying explanation. And I'm going to go through and read this for you guys, but I'm also going to play George Webb's take on Mr. Epstein. He was a little bit more than a child sex trafficker and a little bit more than a major blackmailing operation. We'll cover that in the next hour. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller. Hour two. What are you looking at me like that for? You got a look of concern on your face, like my face just melted off or something. At any rate, second hour coming up. Look the other way. You're scaring me. We'll be back. It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with FrontSight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, FrontSight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, FrontSight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.